Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, happy Monday afternoon and welcome to the Monday edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson. We're in the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Alex Ward, a former Oak Grove High School quarterback, now an offensive consultant with Troy University, will be on the show today. Tim Hallman, former offensive lineman for the Golden Eagles as well. Kelly's about to join us. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue. If you didn't order Dickey's this past Saturday at your tailgate, you missed out. But you can do it again this Saturday. Dickey's will cater an event for any size, anywhere. And so if you want to be the hit of tailgating on the Southern Miss campus this weekend, make sure you order from Dickey's. Kelly Sander was on the Southern Miss campus this weekend and in the Rock Saturday night as the Golden Eagles beat Grambling University rather easily, 37-0. Kelly, your impressions of the Golden Eagles? A win is a win is a win. That's the way I look at it.
For sure. And you said easily, Bob, sitting there, you know, in the first half,
it
was a little touch and go there for a while and had people kind of scratching their heads a little bit. But then things kind of, you know, kicked into gear there in the second place. I'll tell you a couple things, you know, stand out. Number one is I love the style of defense, even though, of course, the team was beaten by South Alabama. I think everybody would agree that the defensive unit played pretty doggone well, even if it was, you know, in a loss. But just the style of play that the defense is getting accustomed to, I really like, and I think the fan base is appreciating that as well. And it's difficult to pitch a shutout, and I don't care who you're playing. You know, it's really difficult when you have a big lead too. I mean, even the best schools in the country will give up a touchdown or two late. You know, they let other guys get in and play and things like that. It's tough to pitch a shutout. I hope that the situation with Trey Lowe, and Luke's going to hopefully be able to update us a little bit later on Trey Lowe's situation. I hope that this doesn't become a quarterback controversy because that's never good, and because it kind of forces people to be on, you know, Team Lowe or, you know, Team Keys, you know, whoever. You want this to be a united effort in one way or the other. If Trey Lowe is not the starter, I don't ever want anybody to be injured, but if he's not the starter, I hope that is the reason.
Right. Well, you know. So let me ask you this question, and then we'll get Luke in the conversation. I don't want to take anything away from Keys. He played well for a freshman. But isn't it true, Kelly, that you're in the second half of a game against a lesser opponent with fewer players, fewer scholarships, and almost always the D1 team wears that team down in the second half, and that's clearly what happened Saturday night. So Keys, did he not benefit to some degree by the fact that perhaps Grambling was worn down a little bit by the second half?
That's certainly a reasonable point, but you also want to build his confidence,
right?
And put him in a position to where he can succeed. And again, the coaches are with these guys every single day and see the reps that take place in practice. And these coaches, Will Hall said, he said, "Man, I'm fighting for my life." So I have confidence that the coaches are going to play the player that they, you know, think gives the Eagles the best chance to win. And let me tell you, they need to do that this coming Saturday because Troy is a really good team coming in here. And remember, South Alabama was projected to finish fourth on their side of the Sun Belt ledger. And, of course, they're, what, 2-0 now, South Alabama is. And Troy was projected to finish second on that same side. So you know the team coming in here Saturday is going to be a good team. And it's really going to be a game that could make or break the Eagles, because they then, of course, go to Alabama, who could very well win the national championship, you know, the next week before coming in against an improved Rice team. So there's a lot riding on this game this coming Saturday.
All right, Luke Johnson, is there a quarterback controversy, or does the starter get his job back as soon as he's healthy?
Yeah, I think it depends on how Ty Keyes plays. Now, here's the thing. To your point, there was more energy in the second half. I think that's just naturally, you know, you get your eyes on another guy. At the same token, if Trelo would have stayed in the game, the Golden Eagle offensive line would have opened up some of those same runs. Now, we saw Keyes get loose, and, you know, he busted, I think it was like a 30, 40-yard run. But I think it was inevitable that the Southern Miss offensive line take charge as they did. Keyes, Lowe was 10 of 13 when he left the ballgame. Keyes was 4 of 11. The two things that I liked about Keyes specifically, he made a comeback throw on the sideline. It was a bullet. And then the touchdown throw was nice. But you saw some of the early jitters with the fumble. I mean, If you ride into the season with Trelo, I don't think a foot injury, you know, robs him of his starting position. But at the same token, if he's out multiple weeks and the team responds to Ty Keyes and he plays, you know, above a true freshman, I think you got to ride the hot hand.
What do we know about that injury, Luke? Anything?
I mean, on the sidelines, there's no press conference today, so you don't know anything really till tomorrow before you can get any comment whatsoever. On the sidelines, Saturday night, he was in a boot and he was on crutches, so that tends to tell you that, you know, it's more than maybe just a turned ankle. We'll have to wait and see what Will Hall says after the game. Specifically, Will Hall said, you know, he kind of avoided what you said about any type of quarterback issue or anything. He said, we have to find out how serious Trey's injury is, and then we'll go from there. It's hard for me to assess it without watching tape. Obviously, everybody felt Ty's energy when it came into the game, but Trey was 10 of 13 with one touchdown when he got hurt, so he was playing well, too.
He played well, yeah, right. All right, 3.5 minutes left. Kelly, we're going to bring you back at the end of the show, but we want to touch on this rumor that is just buzzing everywhere on social media. That is a realignment of the Sun Belt Conference that includes Southern Miss. What can you share today?
Really, most of the reports are surfacing out of the state of Virginia, which is where James Madison University is located. Now, James Madison is a 1AA football powerhouse. They've won some national championships. What's problematic about the rumor is that just that, James Madison is a 1AA program at this point. Any move to the Sun Belt would make them jump to 1A, which is certainly, you know, which is certainly doable, particularly with the football reputation that the Dukes have at James Madison. Now, the reason that you might think there's some credence to this is severalfold. Number one, it's an odd grouping of schools that are being rumored as leaving. James Madison, which is 1AA, obviously Sun Belt would be a step up. Old Dominion, which is also over on the seaboard, all right, then Marshall and Southern Miss. All right, no mention of UAB, but again, you already have two Sun Belt teams from Alabama. When you pull up the Sun Belt Conference's website, the only state in the Sun Belt that does not have a Sun Belt team in that conference is Southern Miss. It has also been very quiet on the campus of Southern Miss with our various sources. Normally, if it's an absolute no on a situation, people will say, that's absolutely not true. Now, they're either lying, but people, you know, you develop a relationship with your sources, you know, that they wouldn't generally outright lie to you. But they're not saying anything, okay, which is a little bit odd. The athletic director, the conference commissioner for the Sun Belt is Keith Gill. And Keith Gill has been very vocal in this whole process now at the Big 12, he said that Sun Belt is going to be very aggressive in pursuing teams and making sure that they, you know, protect their interests. So that would certainly fall in line.
All right.
The AAC, real quick, how much time I got, Bob?
I've got a minute left.
Okay, real quick. People talk about the AAC, but when you look at the budgets of the remaining schools in the AAC, for Southern Miss to really get into the AAC, they would have to make a financial commitment that, honestly, I'm not sure that the university is in any position to make. It would be a huge further financial commitment. And I just don't know. I'm one of us, okay? I just don't know that as a group, the financial commitment could be made to the AAC that they would be looking for.
All right, 30 seconds left of the segment. We'll get back to this topic later in the show. But, Luke, your thoughts real quickly.
I think there's a decent chance that if Georgia State doesn't go to the American, that UAB will. I do think as far as the West is set up, Southern Miss would be in a Sun Belt West Conference. It bodes better than what they're in right now. Conference USA has zero leadership. The Sun Belt is a more viable option. It would be good for baseball. I don't know what Jeremy McClain's thoughts on it are. It seems like in the last several years he thought it may be a lateral move or a downward move. But, yeah, you just got to wait and see what happens to the American, and is Southern Miss going to be proactive or not?
All right, interesting stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Also, Kelly's going to do some bloviating, I'm sure, about the Cincinnati Bengals actually winning a game. That'll
Super Bowl bound. Super Bowl bound.
There's a taste of what you're in store for.
You picked against them. We all missed that pick.
All right. Offensive consultant for Troy University, Alex Ward, is next on the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you're with us on a Monday afternoon. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. They were rocking and rolling Saturday with Southern Miss fans, and no doubt it'll be the same this Saturday. You can shop there 6 days a week on Hardy Street right across from the campus, or you can get online, campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen will take care of you however you choose to shop. Tim Hallman, former offensive lineman for the Golden Eagles, coming up in a few minutes. But right now, Alex Ward joins us. Alex is a former Oak Grove guy, a quarterback at Oak Grove High School, graduated there in 2016, and now is an offensive graduate assistant with Troy University. Alex, welcome to the Eagle Hour.
Nice to be here. How are you today?
Well, we're good. Glad to have you on the show. You and I talking off air, you got a good look at that Liberty quarterback. Troy lost a really close game, 21-13, to Liberty over the weekend. But, boy, they have a legit NFL quarterback, and Liberty's quite a good football program, aren't they?
They are. We just didn't execute well enough. I mean, we feel like, obviously, you're gonna say that you feel like you're the better team when you lose a game like that. But that quarterback, Malik Willis, is – a bona fide NFL guy. He should be a first-round draft pick, and we lost a close ball game to a heck of a ball team.
A lot of Southern Miss fans, and I think rightly so, say the Troy game coming up this weekend is a real measuring stick for this new regime and where the Southern Miss program is today. It's a big challenge, I think, for the Golden Eagles. What sort of football program and team does Troy bring into the Rock this weekend, Alex?
Tough, physical. We're going to try to get after you every play, especially up front on the offensive line. Who I work with is we kind of bring that Gator attitude, and I don't want to explain what Gator means on air, but try to get after
I
you.
I think I got that.
Yep. Yes, sir. Try to get after you and just play fast and play well.
Right. Luke, get in here with Alex Ward.
Alex, talk about you talked about how good you guys are up front, and the guy really jumps off to me is, I believe his last name's Colo, Will Colo, if I mispronounce him, just correct me. But he had four tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, along with 8 tackles against Liberty. Kind of starts with him up front for your defensive line.
Right, and it's Will Colo. And Cholo. He's a guy that comes in every day and works his tail off. I mean, he was voted a team captain by his players, his peers, and that says a lot about who he is as a person. He's a very good player and even better person.
five sacks against a really mobile quarterback against the Hugh Freeze offense. And, you know, you look at what you guys did. That's what I guess I was impressed most about in the Liberty game. You know, they ran the ball but didn't throw the ball very well. They had less than 350 yards on offense, which is an anomaly for a Hugh Freeze offense.
Right. Our defense played well. They gave us a chance to win the game. And offensively, we didn't execute and couldn't really get in a rhythm. They did a really good job of holding the ball and controlling the clock. I think they had the ball 11 minutes in the second quarter, like 12 in the third, and 8 or 9 in the fourth. So they really controlled the clock, and which was different than what Hugh Freeze is kind of known for, playing fast, playing with a lot of tempo. But they did a really good job. They had a really good plan to come in here and get a win.
Trojans weren't able to run the ball really well, but Taylor Powell, I mean, he threw for more than Willis did, and we're familiar with Coach Lindsey when he was our offensive coordinator. But talk about Taylor Powell and what he brings to the Trojan offense.
Taylor's a great kid. He's up here as much as the coaches are. Watching film, preparing. He's a big study guy. He loves Peyton Manning, so he's always in the office. He's an experienced guy. He's a grad transfer from Missouri, so he's played in big football games. He's played on the big stage, and that's how he carries himself, and that's what you want as a quarterback. I mean, you can't speak enough about his work ethic and how hard he prepares to get prepared for that game on Saturday.
Alex, I want to talk to you about your time at Oak Grove, but before I do that, I want to get your thoughts about this. You got Troy University, South Alabama, UAB, all really good Division I programs in the state of Alabama. It's not just Alabama and Auburn, is it? I mean, there are other really good schools with really good athletic departments, not only in football, but in baseball as well in the state of Alabama.
Absolutely. We were – some of the full-time guys were talking about recruiting the other day, and some of these high school coaches kind of see – just don't really get how good these programs are, especially at UAB and Troy at South Alabama, and trying to pass off guys that aren't good enough. But like, we recruit the same guys as Alabama and Auburn. We recruit the same caliber player, because those guys can't take everybody. And there's so much talent in the state of Alabama and even in Mississippi and the surrounding states that you're recruited at a high level, just like Alabama and Auburn, because they can't take everybody.
Correct. And those three schools have had a direct impact on Southern Miss football, I'm going to tell you, because there was a day that Southern Miss just dominated what you're saying. The Alabama kids, the kids on the panhandle that maybe didn't get the, you know, scholarship offers to Alabama, Auburn, Florida State. Southern Miss went in there and got a lot of those. But now that pie is divided up because Troy goes and gets its share of really quality kids.
Absolutely. I do think I have the utmost respect for Coach Hall, Will Hall, and everything I've heard from him, that he's a heck of a recruiter and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Hall could come in Alabama and steal a few kids from the state.
Right. So there's quite a recruiting war that goes on in Mississippi, Alabama, and I think the Florida Panhandle, and Louisiana, I guess, as well, between those four schools, Troy, South Alabama, UAB, Southern Miss.
Absolutely. Everybody's fighting for the same kids, and those kids just got to kind of pick what's best for them. And that's the thing when you get into this college coaching thing is you've got to, for me personally, it's what's best for the kid. Like, if I want you really, really bad, but you choose to go to UAB or South Alabama, so be it. Like, that's what's best for you, and I care about you more than just what you can do for me on the football team, what's best for your future.
All right, Alex, you're a graduate assistant offensive coach right now at Troy. You started out, though, you were quarterback at Oak Grove High School, finished there in 2016. Talk about your time at Oak Grove, and what was the road that led you from Oak Grove to where you are now?
Absolutely. I love my time at Oak Grove. I'm still very close with Coach Barr and Coach Causey, and those guys that are still at Oak Grove. Obviously, Coach Barr's not coaching at Oak Grove anymore, but he's still around, and I'm still very close to them. I loved my time at Oak Grove. I mean, it honestly prepared me to for where I'm at now. So I graduated from Oak Grove. I played at Jones Junior College for 2 years, and then went to Mississippi State as a student coach for 2 years. And then moved on to a small D2 school up in North Texas called Midwestern State, who just beat the number 6 team in the country this past week. So shout out to Midwestern State. And then moved on to Troy here. I got here in about 3 days before fall camp started. So still a little fresh, still a little new, still trying to learn, but that's where I'm at now.
So to come back to Hattiesburg Saturday night with Troy University to play in the Rock against Southern Miss, Oak Grove kid, that's got to be quite an experience for you, I would think.
It is. A little mixed emotions. Obviously, want to win the game, but I want my friends who are coaching at Southern Miss and playing at Southern Miss to do well, and I wish the best for them. But I got a lot of friends. My family, my parents, and my sister actually are not going to be there. They have a wedding to go to in Indianapolis. So my dad says he might fake, tell my mom he's feeling like he has COVID symptoms so he can get out of the wedding to come to the game. But I got a lot of friends and friends' parents and families that are going to come.
Easy choice, football game or wedding.
I know.
I'm going with your dad, Alex, every time, right? All right, Luke, what have you had else for Alex? Got about a minute and a half left.
About a minute left, Alex. Just your initial, interacting over a month and a half with Sunbelt. There's talk with Southern Miss out there today. All smoke as of the moment, no fire at all. But there's been talks that Southern Miss, might potentially go to the Sunbelt. And you've talked a little bit about, a few of the regional programs. But just your initial impressions of the conference as a whole.
I mean, I think the Sun Belt's great football. I mean, you have Troy, South Alabama. You got Coastal Carolina in there that made a run last year, and you got App State in there. I mean, you got really, really quality football teams that are led by great coaches, and you can't find much better football around the country.
Man, we appreciate your time today, Alex, and just let them know the Nasty Bunch is on the way back, and we hope for a real good game in the Rock. And man, y'all have a safe trip in. Bring some peanuts because that's the peanut capital of the world over there. So make sure you bring some peanuts for us, and we'll see you in the Rock Saturday night.
Absolutely, appreciate you guys.
All right, everybody. Alex Ward is a graduate assistant offensive coach at Troy University. Former Oak Grove quarterback coming back to the Berg with the Troy Trojans. Should be a great night for him. All right, when we come back, Tim Hallman, he has a lot of great memories. He was a really fine offensive lineman back in his day for the Golden Eagles, and he is next on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Monday, Eagles defeat Grambling 37-0. Trey Lowe injured, still awaiting possible ramifications of that injury, and expect to hear something from Coach Will Hall tomorrow. We'll bring you that, of course, on the Eagle Hour. Ty Keyes comes in. Frank Gore goes for 150-plus, and just a good night for the Golden Eagles. Third segment brought to you by 4th Street Bar & Grill. $8.95 lunch every single day, Monday Night Football on tonight. 4th Street Bar & Grill, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Luke and Bob from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel. Bob, one of Coach Carmody's former players, and I'm just looking at, I mean, they started this in the mid-80s. This is when we started piling up the wins
right
on Mississippi State, and this is one of the last times, or the last time, Ole Miss played us. I was a year old, but the Eagles went 2-0 against Ole Miss in 1983. And 1984, and never have heard back from Oxford since.
Tim Hallman was an offensive lineman in that era of Golden Eagle football. A great guy, and we're glad to have you back on the show. You played for the Sweetheart You played for Big Nasty, who never uttered a bad word. Am I right about that, Tim?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Coach Carmody was—he's a great guy, and I've got to meet him or be around him more after the playing days. But you know, Coach Carmody had this look, and you knew what that look was. But he was—he commanded the presence, and he demanded attention. And he's a great guy, good coach.
Yeah, let me tell you, Tim, I spent a couple of those years as the sports director of a local TV station, and I got that look more than one time from Coach Carmody. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Right, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I got to tell you this. We've had him on the show a couple of times since his book came out, during the time that his book came out. Mm-hmm. And he was a delightful guest and just a real gentle, sweet guy. And in my view, maybe the best college football coach that ever coached in Mississippi, because if you look at his track record as a defensive coordinator at all three mm-hmm. Division I schools, that's unprecedented.
It is. He was a great defensive coach, and even in the NFL, I think they led the league in sacks when he was up there. I believe he mm-hmm. was with possibly the Bills.
That's correct. That's correct.
But, yeah, he had a great defensive mind.
All right, so tell us how you got to Southern Miss and your best memories of your time as an offensive lineman for the Golden, as Luke said, and really in the heyday of Southern Miss football.
Well, we were kind of in between. I got there a year after Reggie, and then Brett came in while I was a senior. But I think we went through maybe 20, 25 quarterbacks in that time trying to find the right one with injuries and whatnot. But Coach Stamus Coleman, who's probably one of the finest men that I've ever met, I think he got lost somewhere between Tuscaloosa and Montgomery, Alabama, where I lived, and came and recruited me, then ended up offering me a scholarship. So that's what got me to Hattiesburg.
And you played with a pretty good quarterback, did you?
Yeah, Brett. I remember when Brett came in as a senior. I really thought Coach Carmody had lost his mind. I said, what is he putting a 17-year-old in here for? But there you go. The rest is history on, you know.
That was against Tulane, right? Tulane in the
it
Rock,
was.
If I'm not mistaken.
It was about 115 degrees.
Right. I remember that. I'm going to tell you this quick story, and then we'll get Luke involved. I was up on the photo deck in the stadium that day, and I was standing there with my good friend Regal Napier, who at the time was the sports information director mm-hmm. at Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget this. When Coach Carmody went over and put him in the game, Regal looked at me and said, keep your eye on this kid. He's got a chance to be good.
Oh, that's great.
And as you say, the rest is history, right?
That's right, because we were only around each other for maybe 6 weeks until that time. And I think he was somewhere on fifth on the depth chart and then possibly third the day of the game, and just really wasn't expecting him to play. But Coach just knew something and put him in, and he had a great game and a great year and a great career.
Yeah, no question. All right, Luke, get in here with Tim Hallman.
Tim, what was it? Last question about Favre, but I mean, when after you know that Tulane game and then at practice, and was he one of those guys that commanded the huddle and you could, you know, as you were, you know, a fifth year senior, you just said, mm-hmm. okay, this is my quarterback, even though he's way younger than me.
Oh yeah, he just had that presence about him. Great athlete. Didn't realize how good his arm was, but it was, as we know, it was he could throw the ball very hard. But he just would. Like I said, gunslinger, just kind of would make stuff, make things happen, make plays happen, and he was off to a good start that year, no doubt.
There was, when you look back at the games that you played in, I mean, there's very few big college atmospheres that you did not play. I mean, Louisville, Alabama, mm-hmm. Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State. Which one of those really stands out to you as the best atmosphere, or was it the games in Jackson against State and Ole Miss?
Well, games in Jackson were always great because the stadium was packed, and it was just, that was a great atmosphere. But it was great to go back to – I grew up near Tuscaloosa. It was great to go back there. That was back when Bryant-Denny Stadium was like 58,000. You know, they doubled in size then. Auburn was a great atmosphere. Texas A&M now, when the cadets get on the horses right behind you and they start singing the war hymns, you know, you – you can't help but turn around and look, and that was pretty amazing. That was very interesting. Florida State, very good, because, you know, they come out with the horse before, and he threw the javelin or the spear down into the ground, and the horse left some droppings out there. And I remember we went on the field, and I said, heard another lineman kind of saying a few harsh words. I said, "What is it?" He said, "That dadgum horse pooped on the field and it's all he had to put his he was put his hand down in it in his stance." So that's the little things like that. But
well,
I tried to be
Jim Stump Taylor had it the next year. Stump always told us when he played at Florida State and he was on a freshman on the sideline and Chief, whatever his name is, come and threw the spear down. I think Jim left some droppings on the field.
He
whenever
right at his feet.
I think
yeah.
that.
So
I can see
it was
Stump.
Intimidating.
I bet Stump did. There's no doubt that he did.
You know,
oh boy, Wes Jones, I'm sure he did.
I got to take you back to what you said about Jackson. I think maybe the greatest football memories I have as a Southern Miss fan were some of those games in Jackson, Tim. And you're exactly right. A 60,000-seat stadium, and when the Golden Eagles played up there, by God, half of it was solid gold. And the atmosphere was intense and exciting, and you could just almost cut it with a knife. Am I wrong about that?
Absolutely not. It was just – there wasn't an available seat, and it was just – You know. I think the teams enjoyed playing each other, especially the guys from Mississippi that knew each other and grew up playing with each other. They enjoyed that on the field, but from the stands, it was always very exciting, exciting crowds.
Is it safe?
The games were pretty close, and the games were all good.
The games were good. There was a lot of animosity between, particularly the Ole Miss crowds and the Southern Miss crowds. But on the field, was that the case, or was it a case more of mutual respect and a lot of you guys knew one another?
It's mutual respect. You didn't see a lot of that come out. Everybody was just trying to do the job, so you didn't have a lot of time. You would hear some jawing, don't get me wrong. A little bumping after the play and whatnot. But overall, it was mutual respect.
All right, one game that sticks out in your mind when you think back on your time at Southern Miss, what would that be?
You know, I love when we went up to Louisville and beat them by like 50 or 60 points when Howard Schnellenberger was coaching, because I never forgot we were going in at halftime and a lot of the coaches were giving us the birds and flipping us off, and I'm like, why are they doing that? We just had a great game, but it was nice beating him like that, because he was kind of a hothead. But going back to Jackson, Mississippi State, like I said, another close game. It was the drive, the 98-yard drive at the end of the game that when Shelton scored, that was, you know, it was just the right place, right time, right atmosphere, and it worked. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you're right. You reminded me of that. The 98-yard, the drive. 98 yards to win that game. What a magnificent afternoon.
It was Shelton's like 13th touchdown of the day that game too. I think he had a pretty good day.
He did. But Shelton's a good buddy of mine, and he was always great to block for.
No question.
And one of the funniest guys you've ever been around too.
Yeah, no question. Well, you know what? We could talk to you for hours about those days of Southern Miss football, but unfortunately, we're out of time. I do want you to know we've enjoyed our conversation with you today. If you don't know Tim Hallman, he's a great guy and a true Golden Eagle. And, Tim, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it. I appreciate it.
All right. Tim Hallman, everybody. Great offensive lineman for the Golden Eagles. And Big Nasty, we'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Monday brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. DBATHattiesburg.com on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Golf is at the Jim Rivers Intercollegiate, hosted by Louisiana Tech. Southern Miss in third place right now, shooting 5 under as a team, 2 under today. So Golden Eagles competing against LSU, UTSA, Houston. Hey, we're ahead of South Alabama, guys. We're ahead of them right now, and we're ahead of Troy. So get after it, golf team. They're over at Louisiana Tech. Volleyball this weekend, they dropped 3 matches to South Alabama, Nichols, and Jacksonville State. They will get ready for the Southern Miss Classic this coming Friday. And then soccer was supposed to play some Bulldogs in Starkville, but I think Mississippi State actually had to pull out of that game. I'm not sure exactly why, but it's been postponed, and it will be rescheduled. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Kelly, some game time changes, Conference USA, but also with Southern Miss.
Yeah, real quick. I mean, have the Eagles, have we beaten South Alabama in anything? Checkers? Tiddlywinks?
No, Kelly, that's the answer. No.
You talk about a team that's got our number, but it's only temporary, mind you. A couple scheduling changes. On September 25th, Saturday the 25th, the UTSA-Memphis game that is going to be played at Memphis, that has been picked up by ESPNU. That's going to be a 2:30 start. That's a change, up to a 2:30 start because of coverage for ESPNU. And it was announced this morning by the conference that the UAB-Tulane football game, as our buddy would say, UAB and Tulane at New Orleans is now again going to be played at New Orleans. Luckily and gratefully, the trucks down there are getting power restored a little quicker than they thought they would be able to. So UAB and Tulane are going to play at New Orleans as originally scheduled. And real quick, I just want to say, you know, when you go around tailgating and stuff on Saturdays, when somebody comes up to you and says to the top, The response should be to the top. And you go, well, duh. But, I mean, I'm just amazed at the number of times you'll say to somebody to the top and they'll just look at you and go, okay. You know. So if this thing is
what are we supposed to say, Kelly?
To the top.
If I
look at you and say, hey, look, to the top, you're supposed to say.
I'd say to the top.
That's it.
One game you didn't mention, and Luke mentioned, the Alabama game, 6:30 on the SEC TV network. Is that right, Luke?
That's right. Saturday, September 25th, 6:30 on SEC network. Kelly, you made an interesting, colorful comment about that prime time.
Yeah, to be the first. Oh, boy.
Go ahead, Center.
I threw you under the bus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I hope.
Hey, I can move on. I can move on. Don't worry about it.
No, I was just going to say, I hope it's not the first televised funeral since Princess Diana.
Right.
I hope we'll be able to hang with them.
And real quickly, Luke Kelly also announced there's another change that the Cincinnati Bengals won yesterday, and that's going to be on this week's episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Is that correct?
How about the Bengals?
Yeah.
How about Joe Burrow throwing it up to Ja'Marr Chase and then beating the Vikings in overtime?
I swore when the Vikings, you know, were charged in overtime there, and when Dalvin Cook supposedly fumbled, I'm not sure that he did, but usually the Bengals come out on the short end of those calls, but they got the call, and then the rookie kicker put it through for the win. So
it's good.
Look, I'm thrilled to death. I think it's the first time since Dwight Eisenhower was president that the Bengals have started the season 1-0. Wait a minute, they weren't in the league.
I really thought it was going to be a tie, but Burrow moved them in position. So we know Conference USA goes 7-7 this week in the picks. Kelly, you win.
Week two.
Well, you
go
like
7-4. You go 7-4. Bob goes 6-5. We should mention Bob went 0-3 I hadn't bragged at all on the Saints today. I'll get to that later in the week. Bob went 0-3 in the NFL. Bob ties me. I went 6-5. Kelly, you missed Georgia Southern at FAU. FAU won 38-6.
Yeah,
Texas State beat FIU. We missed that one. And we missed the Vikings and the Washington football team. Bob and I, what else did we miss? Bob missed the Packers because he's a Packers over the Saints. And Rice got stung 44-7 by Houston. And then I picked
I made a stupid decision.
I picked Western Kentucky, who almost beat Army.
Yeah, they
but,
did.
But Bob and I go 6-5. Kelly goes 7-4 in week two picks.
But see, that what concerns me about that Texas State win over FIU is that's another Sun Belt win over Conference USA.
Right. No
you
question.
Know, the Conference USA as a conference not doing very well against the Sun Belt. And that'll be something that people should look at, you know, when it comes to making a move, if indeed there are any moves. I just want, you know, and we're going to continue to follow this story, rumor, whatever you want to call it. But if there is some movement that takes place and the Eagles don't get out of Conference USA, that's going to be the worst news in the history of the school, athletically, I think.
All right, Lee Roberts on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. Kelly will be rejoining us. Heath Hinton as well. We look forward to the show. We hope you'll join us then. Until that time tomorrow, everybody, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the revolution.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.